My name is Mike Morgan. Thank you so much for taking time to study God's Word with us. We are currently in a series of sermons from the book of Genesis. The title of our message this morning is Yet 7 Days. Our text, Genesis chapter 7. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. On the sixth day, God saw everything that He made, and indeed it was very good. Genesis chapter 1. Satan entered that perfect environment, and through man's disobedience, sin entered the world. Genesis chapter 3. Like an airborne disease, sin quickly spread with the murder of Abel, and then the corruption of the righteous by the descendants of Cain. Genesis chapters 4 through 6. By the time we get to Genesis 7, every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. After Adam's sin, God announced His purpose for the seed of woman to bruise Satan's head. But in this current environment of sin, how is the seed promise going to be fulfilled? The world is not ready for the coming Savior, and man's wickedness must be punished. Noah provides that bridge. Noah is a direct link or line between Adam, Genesis 3, and Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. It's easy to read a chapter and forget about the events that have already taken place. As we make our way through the Old Testament, let's remember that man's redemption is unfolding with every chapter of the Bible. Some people believe that the universal flood was a myth. Well, look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. The flood is dated in the Bible, not simply by year or month, but to the actual day. When we come down to the flood, we are about 1,650 years from creation. This is not a fairy tale or a made-up event. This is an actual record of the flood. Consider the space in the Bible that is given to the flood, about 3 chapters, and the limited space given to other things. How many chapters are devoted to the creation? 1 chapter. What about the faith of Abel and the first sacrifices to God? Less than 1 chapter. The fact that this much space is given to God's punishment of the disobedient shows the importance of understanding the circumstances that brought about the flood. Truly, these things were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. Why was Noah saved from the flood? Well, not on the basis of limited atonement. God did not choose Noah and reject everybody else. Notice these passages that describe Noah. Genesis 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was righteous by favor or grace. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was righteous by faith in the God of creation. Genesis 6:22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Genesis 7, verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was righteous by the obedience of faith. And Genesis 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an ark to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. While not specifically stated, it is to be understood that Noah's righteousness, including an atoning sacrifice after the pattern of Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Noah was saved because his faith in God and his faithful obedience to God's command. How can imperfect man today become righteous before God and escape the wrath to come? Luke gives us the answer. Speaking of Zacharias and Elizabeth, he said, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Luke 1, verse 6. This is exactly what we have in the description of Noah. We are righteous before God through faith in the shed blood of Christ and faithful obedience to His Word. One of the most disturbing passages in the Bible is Genesis 7, verse 4. "For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." Just think about that. In 7 days, the inhabitants of the earth will be killed. Have you ever played a board game that has an hourglass as a timer? Little by little, the sand moves from one cylinder to another. You can see time running out. Genesis 6:3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever." Corruption reached a stage where it was hopeless and changing. There was nothing left but judgment and destruction. The Lord said, "For he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There was 120 years worth of sand in the hourglass. When God saw the wickedness on the earth, he turned the hourglass over, and the countdown to destruction began. Day after day, Noah was preaching, "Save yourself from this perverse generation." Day after day, God was giving man another opportunity to repent and forsake sin. Can you imagine the reaction of the people as Noah built the ark? "What are you doing, Noah? Why are you wasting your time? Rain? What is rain? Why are you not running with us in the same flood of dissipation?" After 1 year, 15, 30, 50, 75 years, the ridicule and scoffing was deafening and unending. With the passing of each year, their hearts were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Their conscience was seared beyond feeling. They were whistling to the graveyard. 120 years is a long time, right? It was less than a drop of water in the ocean. It was like a vapor that appears for a moment, then vanishes away. It was swifter than a weaver's shuttle. 119 years and 51 weeks have now passed by. 1 week left before mankind goes over the physical cliff of destruction. Everybody is worried about the financial physical cliff. In my opinion, that's a given. Our number one concern should be the physical cliff of sin and God's wrath on the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Do you think that God told Noah that payday was 7 days away? I think so. Do you think Noah told the people that time was quickly running out? Yes. How could they disregard the warning? Did they think God was playing when he said, "Yet 7 days"? Instead of seeking truth, let me show you what their attitude was. Look at Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 10. Now go write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of God, who say to the seer, "Do not see," and to the prophet, "Do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit." They mistook God's long-suffering for weakness. How many people listened to what Noah had to say? Out of all the people on the earth, 8 souls. How many people were saved in the city of Jericho? 1 family, the family of a harlot. Of those over the age of 20, how many entered the promised land of Canaan? 2 people, Joshua and Caleb. How many people were saved in Sodom and the cities of the plain? 4 minus 1. After 3 years of public ministry, how many people followed Christ? Well, compared to the whole, a very few. From the beginning of human history, the principle of the wide and narrow gate has been true and demonstrated over and over again. Success in God's sight is not measured in numbers. God's measuring rod is the righteousness of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7. In spite of Noah's lack of converting others, he was a faithful watchman and gave them warning from God. And he saved himself and his family. That was a success. These people were living as though there was no God and sin did not matter. Until the very day God shut the door to the ark. That's the way Jesus says it'll be when he comes back. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the floods came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. According to Jesus, people will be living the same way people did in the days of Noah. Well, let's put our society to the test. Is this happening today? Yes. Today people are living as though there is no God and sin does not matter. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, they took wives for themselves. Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Do people today understand that marriage is an institution that was set up by God and ordained by God, or has marriage become corrupted beyond recognition? 9 states, plus the District of Columbia, have legalized same-sex marriage. The Supreme Court will rule on the subject. Do you think that the Supreme Court will uphold God's pattern for marriage? Does the Supreme Court overrule the Word of God? Today, people are marrying just as they were back in the days of Noah. God told man in Genesis 6, "You have 120 years left." Lot warned the people of Sodom that judgment was on the way. Belshazzar drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from God with this writing, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Daniel chapter 5. Jonah entered the city of Nineveh and proclaimed, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." Jonah 3 verse 4. In the New Testament, Jesus gave Israel a sign to look for before the destruction of Jerusalem. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 24, verses 14 and 15. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Luke identifies the abomination of desolation in Luke 21, verse 20. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." Jesus is coming back to take vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9. When will that be? Should we look for the signs of the times, natural disasters, wars, and rumors of wars? Or will the return of Christ come as a thief in the night? Jesus said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 4, verse 36. Jesus also said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Matthew 25, verse 13. Well, the moment has finally arrived when the time for repentance has passed forever. Torrents of rain would seal the fate of those who practiced evil and would save Noah and his family from the influence of sin. What do you think was the reaction of people when it began to rain and the fountains of the great deep were opened up? The people who scoffed and ridiculed as the ark was being built are now watching the ark rise above the water while they sank beneath the waves. After 120 years, was there a second chance? Once the door of the ark was closed, did the cries of the wicked beating on the ark cause God to stop the rain and open the door? No. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. When it started to rain, did some people repent with many tears? Yes, but there were no deathbed confessions. When the water got up shoulder deep, were some people ready to forsake sin and serve the Lord? Absolutely, but all they could do was wait to drown. What a horrible picture. Even that cannot compare with what will take place when Christ comes back. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" My friends, here's a lesson. Corruption can reach a stage in life where a person cannot change. This is true of individuals, institutions, and nations. Now, someone will inevitably say, "What about the children who died in the flood? How could a loving God allow this to happen to innocent children? As if God is unjust." Judgment is God's strange act. But even judgment is an action of God's love. Think about all those who died in the wilderness. Young people under a certain age were not held responsible for unbelief. They were under the age of accountability. Children lost their lives in the flood, but they did not lose their soul. The judgment of the flood was in the interest of God's purpose, the future of man, and for the benefit of the innocent, who would not be corrupted by growing up in an evil society. If the world had continued in its ways of corruption before the flood, what would society be like when Christ came into the world? If God had not intervened to put a stop to the madness, there would be no righteous seed for Christ to come through. The very best decision that could have been made concerning those children who lost their lives in the flood was to lose their lives and then go to be with the Lord. The Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark." This is the first time in the Bible that the word "come" is used in connection with God's invitation for salvation. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. Today, there is a place of quiet rest and comfort sweet near to the heart of God. Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah's life, and he lived a righteous life in his generation. In the midst of corruption, he chose to trust, obey, and serve the Lord. In the midst of the corruption that surrounds us, what have we chosen? Genesis 7, verse 16 says, "So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went into God as He commanded, and the Lord shut them in." God's divine care and concern for the righteous is demonstrated in the fact that He shut the doors of the ark. Here we have the separation that must take place. Look at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32. Matthew 25 and verse 32. "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." When God shut the door of the ark, he was separating the sheep from the goat. Every single righteous person who was on the earth was saved. Every wicked person was lost. From this, we learn that God's judgment discriminates. God's character is such that he distinguishes between the righteous and the wicked, and each will receive his own reward. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." In the days of Noah, where was the place of safety and security? It was in the ark. There was no safety or security outside the ark. All on the outside perished. Today, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Paul said, "Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Those who are in Christ, the saved, are members of the one body, the church." Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. There are no saved people outside of Christ and His church. Think of the time and effort Noah had to put into building the ark. He did not do shabby work. He didn't cut any corners or leave any loose ends. As Noah built the ark, we are building a life. As Noah built the ark to float, we are building our lives to save us and one day hear those sweet words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you so much for taking time to study God's Word. It is our prayer that this lesson has been encouraging, spiritually uplifting, and most of all, according to God's Word.